Yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos, top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclassed.
Welcome in to the Sin City Indie Report. I am Sin City Steve, and as always, I'm being joined by Red Jed. And Red Jed, how the hell have you been, my friend?
Oh, brother. I've been doing well. How are you doing on this Thursday night? Aptly, maybe from this point on, known as Indie Night of the Week for us.
You know, I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. Let's just go ahead and throw the stamp on it. Thursday night is now Indie Night. Yeah. Indeed. That's done. So,
exactly.
And, you know, also, really quick, before we jumped right in here, I got to give a little Vegas fact of the week. And for those folks that live here in Las Vegas, you already know this, but if you don't, casinos are intentionally designed without clocks so that you lose track of time, which somehow correlates because that's how some indie entrances feel at 11:45 p.m.
True.
Just right. Putting it out there.
You're right.
Lord of mercy. All right. So, man, we got a lot of wrestling to talk about. So let's dive in and let's talk first. I'm going to talk a bit about 1FW. You know, they continue to surprise me in a great way. You get 45 minutes, you know, 1 hour blocks once a week, and they just put out a solid block of programming. You know, you've got on this show, as you can see in that graphic at the top there, you've got Valentina Rossi and Rosario Grillo actually losing to Harley Cameron and Orange Cassidy. As we have talked about on this show, 1FW is a QT Marshall promotion, so they obviously are going to have great ties to 1FW, and you know it's fitting. But elsewhere on this show, man, we had a rare sighting from the frat house, and an even rarer fact, them picking up a win. So Cole Carter, Jack Jamison, and Preston Vance defeated the Verdict, Bryce Donovan, Smart Mark Sterling, who had the typical gimmicked wrestling gear for somebody who's not a professional wrestler. So nods to you on that, sir. Well done. And also Vinny Scalise. But, you know, I got to mention the best thing on this show, all respect to everyone else, was for the 1FW breakout title. Very Morales defeated Adam Priest, Lee Johnson, and Shoot Taylor. This was a solid match. All four of these guys have a great future ahead of them, and they all brought it. And Very Morales is continuing to get better week by week from what I've seen from him. Not just on this show, he's been in some of the other indie shows that we've talked about. And he's getting very good.
Interesting.
Yeah, man.
This is like a weekly thing now for this company.
What I'm guessing, and obviously when we started this show, we just kind of, for me anyway, I went and searched for all independent promotions that I could find that were reliably releasing content. Mm-hmm. And as I'm finding this out, it looks like as if they recorded a big gamut of shows, mm-hmm. at a couple nights of a TV taping, and they're kind of slow feeding them out. So essentially, you know, recording a week of TV in 1 hour blocks and then rolling that out per week.
Sure.
Makes winning sense. Formula.
Probably do like a show a month, you know, do a tape in a month and call it a day. So that makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Well, let's turn the page here. Let's hear from you and tell me about Women of Wrestling. They record down on Fremont Street here in Las Vegas. So let's give these ladies their due.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Sin City's own Fremont Street hosts to Women of Wrestling, which I saw on the CW affiliate locally. I think it's just in random spots. So check your local listings, I would say. And I do believe it is on Vice as well, as the graphic says that they're on that channel. Additionally, if you have that. So lots of opportunities. I think Paramount has somehow is distributing the show. So it is getting around awesome. Most certainly. And ironically, a little thing to note with this also is, man, this stuff was taped a long time ago, brother. We're talking October of last year.
Oh, damn.
I did a little bit of research on this, and they did like four nights of taping spread over about a two-weekend period down on Fremont. I would assume, and I haven't seen like spoiler results or spoiler tapings, but I would just assume, based on the fact that this content is still going in the month of May, that they probably did like 5 or 6 hours worth of tapings per night.
Damn.
I'm assuming, just doing the math on it, if it's continually still going here in May, let's even assume they started airing the tapings at the beginning of the year in January. Yeah. So I think what essentially WOW does, wherever they go, is they tape one whole, they call it a season, in one mass set of tapings span over like a four-night period. So... Oh. So what we got here is quite the variety. Lots of different talent, some talent that are familiar to the masses, maybe a little bit, especially if you were a follower of NXT. There's definitely some women on this show. Amari Miller used to be on NXT. She's in here as Ashley Blaze. Valentina Ferraz is up in this motherfucker as Catalina Cruz. So she had a match on this show against a competitor named Genesis, who's, I guess, kind of the number one contender for their women's championship, which is owned by Penelope Pink, who's managed. Right. Yeah, right. who's managed by a WOW, I would call like legend of sorts, Lana Starr, who's been on WOW for like decades. This has been a. The same guy who did Glow as background quick does this the promotion, and it actually has been around for decades now. I even remember seeing like a pay-per-view from them where like Bobby Heenan and I believe Lee Marshall of all people were doing the color and the play-by-play. So they've been around for a while. They've had different iterations, different cycles, different seasons as they call them, but they're still kicking, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. I thought the Fremont Street experience that they really pushed on this show was almost like half of a tourism ad of sorts for the area, because they were right down in the heart. They were right by the D. They were right by the Golden Nugget, right in that centralized area, right on Fremont. The production was pretty solid, man, for doing what they did. So, I was just in general impressed with the show. The in-ring was what it was, but lots of flamboyant characters kept me hooked, so I'll be peeking in on this every so often. I can't say I'm completely engaged in this, but I mean, it's an easy watch. You can fly through it easily in a good half hour, and you've caught up pretty much just about everything. So,
absolutely, man, absolutely. And you know, it's always good to get out there and sample other product. You know, it's healthy. It gives you a varying look at just what's going on in the pro wrestling industry, you know?
Yeah, just like anything, man, in life. There's spices, a variety of life is good, and same with our wrestling, so.
Without a doubt, man. And before we turn the page and go to the next show that we're going to talk about, I do want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight, whether you're watching us on Facebook, whether you're watching us on YouTube, whether you're with us on Twitch, feel free to post your comments in the chat. and join the show. So we will interact with those comments. So feel free. And yeah, let's talk about Eugene Mania running wild, brother. Memphis Wrestling number 272 brings us Eugene Mania. And this was quite the show, Jed.
Yeah, man. I've seen little bits and pieces of Memphis Wrestling in the past. It's a United Wrestling property, I believe, or the United Wrestling Network property. At least it was a one time or another. I don't know if they're still affiliated, but lots of color on this show. Lots of really, it felt like wrestling.
Brother.
A lot of weekly shows feel. Because of Memphis, man.
It was good.
It was a studio show. This is classic Memphis. Back in the days of Jerry Lawler and the WMC studios in the 80s and 90s, bringing up the USWA and these things, they were all in a TV studio and it felt just like it. I think they were trying to intentionally catch that
same
aura, and they did well with this, man. I thought the production was decent. I liked the whole, they were like in the wrestle center, as they called it. I just love the little nostalgia nods like that. Even the theme, man, the Whoop That Trick theme for Memphis Wrestling. Okay. All right. Why not? What the fuck?
I didn't plan on seeing that.
Right. Me either. I'm like, whoa, okay. They're going. Okay. All right. Well, more power to them. It's over. So might as well use it. Shit.
No joke, man.
But yeah, to start out the show with an AEW star, man, Brian Keith showing up on this one. They're setting up a big match with him next week with a guy, the Genetic Nightmare, Mike Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of talent. Some talent I was familiar with, other talent definitely not on this show, but there certainly was a couple other ones with Marco Stunt playing a heel and squaring it off with the one and only, hence the title, Eugene Nick Dinsmore.
Yeah. Wow. Dude. I don't think that I could say that I would ever think that I would see Marco Stunt playing a heel in 2026.
Yeah, a chicken shit heel. Much less.
I mean, it worked though. It was fun.
Yeah. It worked. He was seconding another guy who they're trying to push in the company. And he was kind of like the sidekick, the kind of like hiding behind the tougher guy, you know, type of thing. And
he was that yapping little dog.
He sure was. Yeah, that was a good way to explain it. Yeah. Then they have like a tag match as the main event with Marco Stunt and Eugene involved in this. And 2026, I did not expect to see Eugene against Marco Stunt in the main event of Memphis Wrestling, Eugene Mania. But here we are. Yeah, it was fun. And then there is one particular thing. I know we've already spoke a little bit about this.
Yep.
There was a promo on this show that, took the cake this week of like the holy kerplunkadoodle of the week, I think, or something.
Yeah.
promo. Jimmy Hollywood Blaylock and the motherfucking, apparently like the promoter or the booker of this show and storyline, King Cobra.
Yeah.
What in the fuck was that?
Dude, Hollywood Jimmy, what the fuck, man?
Wow, that
game. Like he came out with this giant entourage that he called the Hollywood Click, and it's like, okay, we are 100% watching indie wrestling here now.
Yeah,
that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought this was like right out of JCW, the flamboyance and these gimmicks they had here.
It was campy as shit.
It was so campy, and it was so entertaining. I loved it.
Yeah.
But wow. And there was some storyline with King Cobra getting blackmailed with a photo of something. They elaborated on that, so I'm assuming Hollywood Jimmy had some sort of part in that, and he's trying to get the company, or I don't know. Like, is that what the fuck was going on there?
I don't know, man. I think that I exited that watching that promo with more questions than I had going in.
No shit, right? Weird,
literally, wild, and wacky. What?
Yeah. Yeah. And what? Yeah. Weird, wild, wacky, and what the fuck?
But there was, speaking of some things that did get over on this show, We got to talk about their tag team champions, man. The Business Dogs.
Dustin Starr was a fan of them too.
He was all about them.
Dogs.
He was throwing up gang signs and shit.
Yeah. Oh my God, man.
But hey, you know, man, the crowd loved them.
Yeah, they sure did.
We can sit here and we can say whatever and laugh and but the crowd loved these dudes, man.
They sure did.
Continue doing business. Business dogs.
Come on, dogs. Get with it. Get your buzz on. Oh, man. Yeah, great atmosphere.
Yeah.
Well, this is another venue I would love to just, like, go sometime and just check out. It wasn't a big crowd by any means. One or two rows. Everybody just kind of standing around. But, man, they were really, like, engaging and, like, interacting with these guys.
It was super intimate. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something. It was quite the atmosphere all the way for this one. So,
absolutely, man. Yeah. So Memphis wrestling was good. Speaking of a bit of tradition, let's keep that kind of mindset going, and let's talk about the NWA, man. Tell me about this week's episode of NWA Power.
Yeah, man. So we're at episode 3 of Power on Comet. This is Saturday afternoons, late afternoons they air these episodes. I think it's 3 o'clock mine time, so 4 Eastern. More or less, the quarterfinals are concluded for the Crockett Cup, so we continue to move on through week to week here. We'll probably have about 3 more weeks of this, I'm thinking, and then it should be wrapped up. A couple quarterfinal matches. The Titans of Calamity are still kicking, still moving on. This was the same team that on the debut episode won 3 fucking matches, and they are continuing to squash the competition. They defeated the team of Dragon Nihon and familiar face Tom Latimer.
Okay.
I haven't seen him in a while, so he's lost significant weight. He's in good shape, but I almost didn't recognize him for a moment there. So they kind of lost their ass in this match. And then we also had the Good Brothers over that team I was really intrigued to see, and they did not let me down, a Slime Time.
Yeah.
They're against the Good Brothers in a very entertaining match, a very entertaining post-match as well, where Slime Time cuts these promos that kind of don't really make a lick of fucking sense. They're kind of sleazy and slimy and grungy and whatever the fuck, I don't know, but it's fun. So good match, really enjoyed it. And then they had a Mildred Burke Invitational Battle Royal Gauntlet on this episode with approximately 7, I believe, women. So it was a short gauntlet. They came in at intervals. Eliminations were either over the top or by pinfall. So this was like an elimination style thing. Boy, there was characters in this match that I have not seen before, and I'm sure I'll see again, and really caught my attention. There's some really wacky gimmicks up in the middle of all this stuff with the NWA. Tiffany Nieves, if you recall, lost the television women's championship to Giselle Shaw on week 1. Well, she ended up creeping her way as number 7 in this match and won the match. Thanks to her bodyguard, I cannot remember the name of the bodyguard, but a big, husky, tall, like kind of Dutch, like I don't know what you call, like Sound of Music gimmick almost with her or something that this bodyguard of hers has, like Greta, I think is her name. And think of like a big German Oofa Loofa kind of character directly out of like wearing like the Sound of Music gear.
Oh, shit.
Weird shit. I probably am completely misleading on the gimmick, but it's good. It's all good. Yeah. So that was kind of where things wrapped up with NWA Comet this week. Still quite an entertaining show. It still got me engaged. I'm still keeping up on it. I'm still giving the NWA a chance, and I think this is like, I can see that they did take a step up, and it's more of a polished product than I've ever seen in quite some time from them. So kudos to them.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Great to hear. And you know, after they got such a great debut with scoring as many viewers as they did. Yeah. It's good news that they're continuing to keep the momentum going. If they're keeping your attention, then that's the name of the game, man. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. I think a pretty good schedule when they're on every week, you know, Saturday afternoon. I don't know if many people maybe are watching it live, but just to have it on that weekend block, you know, just like catching it like late at the night or something, you'll throw it on the DVR. Hey, that's right. NWA was on earlier. Yeah, it's worth checking. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely, man. And turning the page to a new promotion to me. I had the Triller Plus subscription, and I saw this this match graphic, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to check this out because I've never seen this brand. And come to find out, this promotion is WXM out of India. And one thing that that struck me right away was the venue that they were in. It was in a, for lack of a better term, inside of a Thunderdome. It was a sloped dome kind of a venue, somewhat shallow ceiling, but it was a really cool kind of aesthetic, and definitely not your normal VFW or, you know, setting that you would see for some of the indie promotions that are out there. Right. And some of the names on this show were, I dare say, surprising, but this was another show that was 1 hour. It was a super easy watch. The longest match on the show went 9 minutes. So, they squeezed four matches into this 1 hour block. They kept things moving. It was a pretty fluid episode. Right at the start of the show, Captain Suicida and Flip Gordon from CMLL defeated JD Lee and Tokyo Hero. And this was actually the longest match on the show. Like I said, 9 minutes and change. But great to see Flip Gordon. I think he is extremely underrated. And he really has found his niche. Obviously, he was, you know, in with the Elite at the very beginning of the Being the Elite days, and in Ring of Honor and things like that. And he never showed up in AEW. And I think that realistically, it was good for him to go out on his own. And now we're seeing him not just in CMLL, but he has opportunities like this to build that brand synergy, and it just makes for a better landscape of pro wrestling. You mentioned on, you know, when we were talking about the Memphis wrestling show that Brian Keith showed up. I think that that's another thing that, you know, a lot of these larger promotions like AEW, CMLL, you know, they play well with the other brands, not just the ones that they handpick. So yeah. I think that, you know, this is always a great thing for anybody who's watched the Vegas Bad Boys podcast, the main show. I've always been a proponent of wrestling promotions working things through together as opposed to being exclusionary. And speaking of elsewhere on the show, I mean, you had Emi Sakura defeating Mei Suruga. This was a solid match. I mean, obviously, Emi has done a lot in her career. Mainstream fans would know her from AEW. Again, adding that name to the show, Donovan Dijak was on this show as well. Very solid stuff. And then in their main event, they had, you know, six of their homegrown characters that they put into a mixed trios match, and it did a lot for character building. So this episode was titled number 20. So this is still a very, very new promotion as well. So again, we've said it every episode. If you've got a Triller Plus subscription and you got about 45 minutes of time, you know, why not throw on a promotion like this, or like a Memphis Wrestling, or, you know, any of these promotions that you're not familiar with? Who knows? You might find that one character that you just fall in love with, and you follow them for their entire career. Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I like that Triller has the variety from different countries, even, of content. I've seen made progress, or you know, different promotions from Europe, you know, definitely prevalent on that.
I gotta say this, and you know that they're watching and listening, because of course they are. But Progress, please get your audio fixed.
Yes,
that's please. One thing. Yes. Oh my God.
Yes, come on now. I hear
Holy
you.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Anyway, Jed, let's talk a little bit about UWN and championship wrestling, man.
Yeah, man. So championship wrestling, formerly known as championship wrestling from Hollywood. They got rid of the Hollywood moniker, but it's still based in Los Angeles. This taping was from, I believe, Irvine, like a southern part of L.A., I may have been at this venue before for a concert. It looked awfully familiar. I think I saw Monsters and Men at this place of all things. So it was a long time ago, but it looked damn familiar. I just really I'm kind of sentimental to this company. I actually went to a handful of shows back in the day in LA. Back when like Colt Cabana and Adam Pearce were having that rivalry going on, it was like a 7-match series for the NWA title. I was at some tapings for Hollywood Wrestling around that time. So definitely I have some really fond memories of this company. Particularly the focus with this company now is kind of offshooting or trying to promote all events to lead into like a monthly pay-per-view format, which is incidentally on Triller once a month. It's a series called Sunday Night Slam. So they actually air it live as it happens as well. It is from Los Angeles in a different studio. It's called from the Thunder Studios, I believe. They had an event in March and April. They were supposed to have one coming up here in about a week from now or so, and they had postponed Sunday Night Slam. They're just doing a regular taping. But I think the idea is they're going to have it back in probably June. The Sunday Night Slam was very much advertised, promoted on this show with runners before and after commercial breaks and things of that nature. So it's still in the mix. It's still coming. I know I saw the first one back in March on Triller, and it was decent. They had some pretty solid names in there. It was about a 5 or 6 match card. Lots of variety on the show. So hopefully they'll keep going in this theme. A lot of these matches are more or less, there's some competitive matches in there. They had the Wolf Zaddies in a match on this show. They also had Royce Isaacs kind of return back to championship wrestling. He hasn't been around in quite some time. They're building something with him and Jordan Cruz, from my understanding. So that's coming up. So there's some different things in the mix with this promotion leading up to yet another, this would be the third Sunday Night Slam. So keep everybody abreast on kind of updates moving forward with this promotion, and then where things are going to land for the next Sunday Night Slam, hopefully in June.
Absolutely, man. Sounds good. Can't wait to hear more, but let's turn a little bit and talk about one of the more newsworthy indie shows this week. And that would be one of the two Ring of Honor shows. So Jed, I know that you had a pretty vested interest in some of this. So tell me all about it.
Yeah, man. This week there has been Ring of Honor content in the amount of about 3.5 hours of content within this week to lead up to the Super Card of Honor, which is tomorrow night on Honor Club. So Tuesday night they aired on YouTube a special about 55 minutes of content. And this was just a special added episode of Ring of Honor. They tend to do this leading into their bigger events on Honor Club and kind of the tentpole events. They push a little bit more content out there. So a lot of this content was actually from AEW Dynamite or Collision tapings. This wasn't the studio in Jacksonville that they had these matches from. So the quick and dirty on the Tuesday show on YouTube was there was some squash matches. Blake Christian cut a promo to build to the match with Bandido at Supercard of Honor for the Ring of Honor title. Evil Uno had a squash. Satnam Singh had a squash. He actually had a squash on both Ring of Honor episodes this week. Kind of a nice opener on the YouTube one, Busted in the Brain. They worked against Angelico and Serpentico. That was not a bad match. And then the main event on the YouTube episode this week was quite a match, actually. It was Mystico, Mascara Dorada, AR Fox, ELP, and Michael Oku in there against Blake Christian, Lee Johnson, Jay Lethal, Kip Sabian, and Nick Wayne in a 10-minute tag. Yeah, it was.
That's wild.
Yeah, it was a hell of a match. It really was. That it made checking out this hour of Ring of Honor definitely worthwhile with a main event like that, for sure. Good action. It was like your quote-unquote party match of sorts, for sure, in that match. Lots of just boom, 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 boom. Keeps going, you know, doesn't stop. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Yep. Yeah, and that Nick Wayne title change that comes out of Ring of Honor, man.
Yeah.
Obviously, that sets Nick up for being able to go to Japan and compete in Best of the Super Juniors. Yep. And now he won't be taking a championship along with him. But obviously, Super Card of Honor right around the corner. So is AR Fox being used as strictly a transitional champion?
That's my thought. So on the Supercard Showdown, which was tonight on Honor Club, it was about a 2 and 15 minute hour show, quite a long show. So these matches were all taped from the SoFi Arena, where that great collision that we had last Saturday was at. So they taped some of these matches before and some of these matches after. Unfortunately, about half of them, a little more than half of them, you could notice the crowd probably did file out after that Darby Allin match on Collision. So the crowd was a little bit lacking for some of these matches, but there was a lot of stuff coming out of this show for sure. Some other matches got added to Supercard of Honor last minute. One particularly, like we talked about the title change, AR Fox going over Nick Wayne, and then they announced that Supercard of Honor, AR Fox is going to be working against the one and only Leo Rush on that show. So that match is probably out of the handful of matches on this card. There's quite a bit that have been lined up at the end of the show. That match really stands out to me as going to be probably the dark horse match of the show.
Oh, yeah.
More than likely. So a few other little news and notes from this episode. Again, the aesthetic was great. I loved the production, and I loved the look of that place, that golf center, or that SoFi Arena in Florida. I hope they come back to that one. I really think they can make that like an annual event for sure.
Oh yeah, they easily could. They easily could.
Yeah,
I love the fact how, you know, the independent wrestling has always embraced, you know, professional wrestling and non-professional wrestling spaces. Mm-hmm. But I think with us starting to see that from AEW, I think that it's just going to continue that trend. So we're going to be getting, you know, the wider variety of spaces. A lot of promotions are going to be running stuff in music halls. The ones that aren't already are going to be doing it. It's going to be a lot of fun for people who love varying types of architecture and different looking shows. The people that love wrestling looking one way, they're going to be pissed because, you know, obviously this is going to create a pretty decent amount of buzz, dare I say.
Yeah. And I hope this becomes like a theme for the company, both Ring of Honor and AEW, where, let's do like quarterly specials, you know, where they are. And like, I remember back in WCW days, they went to Club La Vila, you know, for spring break, like in the middle of the fucking pool. They had a ring, you know, with a ramp. I love that aesthetic, and I'd love to see more of that from AEW even.
Right up where you are, man. Yeah. You know, Nitro in the Mall of America.
There you go. Another really unique setting. Absolutely. Yeah. I could see like a theme park of sorts, like have like at a Six Flags, you know, have a wrestling ring set up in like the middle of the freaking theme park, And yeah, like some sort of false count anywhere match that could be going up into like different, you know, types of things at the theme park and
different attractions.
Yeah, I'd love it. So I really hope they take note that this was such a critically applauded a production style for them that they really need to just continue this theme, you know, bring it back every so often in different areas and different types of, you know, aesthetics. And man, I just love it.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, really quick, before we turn to our main event of the evening, again, I just want to say thank you for hanging out with us on Facebook, on Twitch, and on YouTube. If you are checking this out on demand, thank you for listening to the show, or thank you for catching a VOD on replay.
So. Exactly.
Hell yes. And if you are an independent promoter, if you are an independent talent, if you are a content creator, reach out. I would love to collab. I know Jed would love to collab, so let's make it happen, all right? But now we turn over to Juggalo Championship Wrestling, and as you can see, it was, in fact, lunacy today, tonight. Barnabas went ballistic. The ring rat is back. Yeah, man. A lot of shit went down.
Oh, my God. And once again, like, where to even start with this show? I got – before we get into it deep, I got to put over – the Brian and Vinny show interviewing Violent J. Guys got to check this out, man. If you guys are fans of the product or even intrigued at the product, I encourage you guys to find this podcast episode of the Brian Vinny show that they interview Violent J. And I think it's free on the Wrestling Observer website.
It's actually free on YouTube as well.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Wrestling Observer's F4W online YouTube channel. It's free. The video is free as well. And it's a full-on episode of the Brian and Vinny show. You get Granny, you get Violent J. It's a great listen.
Yeah, it really is a good interview. Understanding the idea behind the revamp of JCW and kind of where they changed course. And there's a lot of just like interesting dialogue in this podcast, so check it out for sure. It's really worth kind of getting a feel for understanding what the intentions of the product are by that interview. So
absolutely, man. You know, let's start at the top. You know, obviously last week we saw some tag titles get stolen from Too Tough Tony and Willie Mack. And they, the damn sure got them back to start this show and laid out Choppa City.
they didn't waste any time. It was like immediately at the start of this fucking episode, the shit hits the fan. They get the belts back. They tell them to fuck off, and that's that. Yeah. So case closed, I guess you could say on that one.
Absolutely. And you know the. We come to find out that it's supposed to be Luigi Primo against the Green Phantom. And then Mosh Pit Mike has other thoughts and ideas. And he, you know, inserts himself into this match. And evidently he's a professor now, too.
Yeah, I would even put it a step further. Mad Professor Mike, I think. He looked out of his mind, like a Reanimator horror film or something like that. It reminded me of just like a... Yeah. Off the wall, whacked out professor. Didn't know what the fuck he was doing, where he was going, but made for a great, entertaining match once again. And for the third time in a row, the Green Phantom loses. And now where are we at with it? Because this was supposedly his last shot. So
yeah. Well, we know where this is going. Like this is going to be an every week thing. So it is.
Yeah,
I'm here for it. Yep. Give me the Green Phantom that never wins a match in JCW.
Right. Only in JCW. Oh my God. Speaking of only in JCW, I have to just make a comment. What about that? With that Father Bronson and Facade vignette, talk about acid trip. What Dude. The fuck did I just watch with that one? Woo.
You know, I love how independent promotions have embraced video packages, vignettes, shooting small and short form films as vignettes.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't have to be interviewer with an interviewee, and you know, you cut a promo into a microphone in the back. So I love the creativity, and every single week we see it on JCW, from the way the product is presented to the, you know, the B-roll that they use, to the cut footage that they use, to obviously the matches, the characters, and the personalities, even the commentary. It's a great breath of fresh air.
Yeah, sure is, man. Yeah, Joe Dombrowski is an interesting pick to lead everything in this promotion, because he's got the integrity. Yep. Absolutely. He announces and commentates for multiple indie promotions across the country.
So good. He is so good. He doesn't get the validation and the justice that he deserves.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very underrated, man. Man, he's just cemented his name in independent wrestling. 110%. And so he has an element of integrity to the commentary, but yet at the same time, he can be off color and be really wacky at times and say some really outlandish statements, but it fits the product and it just works, man. It's very reminiscent of like Joey Styles in ECW, where professional but wacky at sometimes. You never know what to expect with the commentary. It can go one way or another. So
that's a really good call out. You know, this episode was not without fault, though. I've got to say, there was one thing in particular that I was left asking a lot of questions, and that was a promo cut by none other than EC3.
Yeah. Dude, it was like, I know. It was like the opposite end of what like would be a pipe bomb type of promo, where he said some shit. Yeah, he was shooting off the cuff very clearly, but boy, it wasn't landing to me. It was just like, I couldn't feel it. I felt like this was just kind of like, it just didn't fit. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. EC3 is almost a natural heel. With him almost being shoehorned in as a babyface, which, as you know, it appears that was the tone that I got from that promo.
Totally.
But it seemed extremely forced. And you know, I just, some people are meant to be heels. EC3 is a fantastic talent in the ring. He is great on the mic in a heel role, but I can't take him as a babyface. I'll give it a shot, and I'll continue to, you know, trust the process. But hopefully this is leading to some kind of a crazy heel turn. And if that's the case, I will fucking love it. Yeah. But yeah, it's not landing for me, like you said.
No. And I just didn't like the pot shots in that promo too. I just thought it was like, what? Why are we talking about the NWA? Why are we talking about this, that, or nothing? And there was some shots at AEW even. I'm just like, okay, yeah, I get, you know, you're trying to get in the mix, you're trying to stand out, you're trying to get people to talk, but I really don't think this is going to land at all. I don't think there's going to be any like scuttlebutt on from anybody saying like, oh wow, how about that promo? Wow, that was awesome. You know, you're not going to get that. It's going to be more of a like a malaise, kind of like, oh really? They want to do that with him? Like you said, it doesn't work for EC3 to be a babyface. I mean, even the crowd, which is primarily like, they go with pretty much with whatever.
Damn near everything.
Yeah, and they even were just kind of like half whooping. I'll just leave it at that. It was very much malaise feeling overall with this.
You know, speaking of things that made me whoop whoop, we had several segments featuring the Outbreak in this episode and Barnabas.
Oh, I love it.
The Outbreak sniffing the urinal cakes.
Yes. It was the best.
Caleb Conley. Oh my God.
Like, that was just how it was like, I mean, it went from almost start to finish of the show, just popping back into it.
That is one thing that Vince Russo has always done, is he's had these show long storylines, these mini storylines that you see play out from the beginning of the show to the end of the show. Mm-hmm. And that's always been something that he's been great with. So props to him for using that formula in JCW. It's definitely working.
Yeah. Yeah. Between the outbreak stuff, which was just so outlandish in the best way possible.
Awesome.
Including the match itself, where they ended up in the crowd going for alcohol shots and getting what they can get. And, oh man, it just went from one thing to the next with the outbreak. I just love it. Oh man. And the storyline with Caleb Connolly and Violent J, mm-hmm. apparently Russo wasn't in the building for this episode. So Caleb Connolly was kind of doing the dirty work for Russo. We're going to see where that lands too. So
we'll see how the Caleb Connolly experiment goes. I wasn't sure about it last mm-hmm. week. This right. week with how things played out, I can see what they're doing and it works. Obviously, you know, J-Rod continues to impress just by, you know, being on the show and doing what she does. I do have to say, yes, give her more promo time because she definitely needs that attention. That's what we'll say on this end. But I like what they're doing with that women's division as well. Mm-hmm. And Alice Crowley is a pretty standout name. She's been all over the place recently.
Yeah.
And she's doing some great work. As you know, Danny Moe's been doing some good things in the ring too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alice Crowley was recently on, if anybody hasn't checked this out yet as well, the MLP YouTube. They, I think she was on the Global Wars show. And she looked damn good in there. I think she wrestled, was it Red Velvet?
Yeah.
It was a good match. I really enjoyed that one. I enjoyed that whole show, as a matter of fact. Yeah, check that out, you guys. If you haven't seen any MLP, speaking of another quality indie, Global Wars as well as Uprising, the two most recent pay-per-view events they did prior to Mania Week, are up on their YouTubes for free right now. So definitely check them out.
Absolutely, man. Definitely go check them out for sure. You know, this week, obviously, they had the main event. You know, the Brothers of Funstruction in there. Mm-hmm. And they were in there up against PCO. Excuse me. PCO and Stephen Flo. Yep. And this was definitely a JCW match here in the main event, I can tell you.
What a
It was fun. It was a fun match. Friend of the show, PCO. Yep. And Stephen Flo. Brothers of Funstruction, great gimmicks being, you know, spotlighted instead of laughed at and joked about. That's another byproduct of JCW is they're going to embrace these gimmicks because the more outlandish the gimmick, the better the show.
Absolutely.
And obviously we had the Ring Rat coming out there with Stephen Flo clinging all over him. Yep. So, pretty interesting stuff there in the main.
For sure, and getting cocaine in the mix of all that, and they're obviously going to be continuing to do something with Stephen Flo and cocaine. That's still moving forward as it has been, and then here we go at the end. I was wondering
where Big Vito, bro.
Big Vito was, and then here he comes right at the end of the show, and here we go again with another hit on the Brothers of Funstruction.
He beat the shit out of both of them, bro.
Sure did. Yeah, and the one, when he bumped outside the ring, he knocked his head on that guard railing.
Yeah.
And he was like, hello, good fucking night. I don't think we saw him after that bump. And then the other guy got ended up taken away again for another hit job of some sort from the Luciano family. So, to be continued.
Left us on another cliffhanger, man.
Yeah, second week in a row with the same type of kind of, actually more than, this has been an ongoing thing almost every episode.
Yeah.
Somebody's getting it, and we don't really know what's happening to them until the next episode. So, love it.
Yeah, man. It's definitely working. They're doing their damn thing and telling stories week to week, and they got me. They got me.
Same, man. And, you know, next week's going to be fun because it's actually live.
Yes. So
this is going to be a live episode next Wednesday entitled The Assault, and it's from Columbus, Ohio. So I expect a fun crowd for this one. Oh, yeah. Really nothing matches announced ahead of time. It's going to be – I think Violent J on the Brian and Vinny show said there are surprise appearances supposedly set for this show. So we'll see who comes in the fold. You never know who's going to be
in the studio. Absolutely, man. And right before we go to our final thoughts, I do want to give some spotlight and some shine to Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, as they are going to be changing the game on Friday this week, on May 15th, 7 p.m. That's going to be coming to you live from the HyperX Arena inside of the Luxor here in Las Vegas. Such a gorgeous venue, man. I know that you were you happened to catch Natural Born Killers there, Jed. What'd you think about the HyperX, man?
Oh, dude, so cool. I loved it. Reminded me actually of where Collision was this past week with that SoFi Center, where they had the wrestlers coming out of like this hallway kind of thing first and foremost, and then down a staircase. The presentation of the entrances was top fucking notch. The video presentation, all the video boards, just the layout of the place really connects. Again, here we are. Like we said earlier, very unique aesthetics. And this is key number one example of something on the FSW side that really stands out as like a different level of production and a different aesthetic than the FSW arena. I mean, it's like, wow, very good.
Absolutely. You know, and the card that they've got for changing the game, you've got MK versus Zamaya in a grudge match. Elsewhere on the show, you've got a pretty awesome tag match. You've got TJP and BYP, acronyms squared, going against Luke Curtis and Bryce Saturn. That should be a solid match, bro.
Yeah, man. I think we saw Bryce Saturn at one of the Vegas events, at least one of them. I believe the Container Park show. I think he was part of that. Yep. And Luke Curtis, I'm familiar with that guy from OVW. He was involved in the OVW mix of things a year or two ago. So definitely a familiar name there as well.
Yeah. Yeah. He, you know, all four of these guys are great in the ring. And again, you know, BYP for his age, getting in there, working with the names that he's working with will only benefit him in his young career. So elsewhere on the show, you're going to have Live Danger, standout tag team that were all over the place during WrestleMania weekend here in Las Vegas, taking on the Pretty City Express. Very, very good tag team, great tag team. And yeah, that one should be a barn burner as well. And not to mention, man, Juicy Finau and Duke Lawrence taking on Lights, Camera, Faction. They've got to reinforce that damn ring.
No shit. That's going to be a batten down the hatches match if I ever have seen one. Holy shit.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, friends of the show all around, so shout outs to all those guys. But your main event is going to be a hotly contested match for the FSW Heavyweight Championship between FSW Heavyweight Champion Bateman and the former champion Shogun. So that one is going to be a solid, solid main event right there. And also, as it looks like on the graphic here, Nevada State champion Sun Liu will be appearing as well. So should be a very solid match and a very solid night of matches at the HyperX Arena in Las Vegas as FSW changes the game. Jed, we're going to get some final thoughts before we get the hell out of here, man. Tell people where they can follow you on YouTube and Wrestling Rants.
Oh yeah. Wrestling Rants, baby. Coming up, I think I got kind of a game plan. I think after Double or Nothing, we're going to start seeing some rants on Wrestling Rants, the return of the rants. Have some thoughts about a mega rant of Double or Nothing, a big whopping review and soon after that pay-per-view, maybe even that evening. Might want to talk to you about a collab on that. That's kind of my thought, is kind of kicking it off with, because there's so many big shows coming up here near the end of May. Perfect time to start ranting away once again on Wrestling Rants, baby. And that's Red or Super Red Jed on YouTube, or look up Red Jed's Wrestling Rants with an R and R-A-S-S-L-I-N rants.com. I used to have it, but just look it up on YouTube because I don't have the website anymore.
Oh, there you go. Wrestling Rants. And, you know, again, I want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. All right, man. We it never stops. It never stops. So
exactly.
You know, we're gonna keep on doing what we do, and we will see you guys right back here next week for the Sin City Indie Report. Until then, guys. Yeah.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody. Thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys, tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.